From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in studio. Our contact information on the web is always equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. First up is Ollie, listening in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hi, Ollie.
Hi, Hank. I love your show. Love listening to you. I am wondering if you can explain an organization called BioLogos. What do you think of it? I'm just curious about it because I think I'm now in a church that believes what they believe.
Yeah, I think it's scary, really. You recognize today that a growing number of Christian thinkers say that Adam and Eve did not really exist. And I think this is like ripping the foundation out of the Christian faith. And Francis Collins, who is a theistic evolutionist, and he is the founder of this BioLogos Foundation. By the way, tapped by President Obama to be director of the National Institutes of Health, is among those that deny the historical account of Adam and Eve. And in his view, science dictates that modern humans emerged from primates 100,000 years ago, but in a population numbering some 10,000, not two. And not only that, but according to BioLogos biblical expert, a guy named Peter Enns, the Bible itself invites a symbolic reading of the account of the first man and the first woman, and therefore, again, you have this notion that Adam and Eve are simply allegorical. Well, you got a number of problems here. First, you have this foundation staunchly defending Darwinian evolution, which is, by all accounts, in an age of scientific enlightenment, little more than a house of cards. The icons are sometimes the arguments, but the icons, when you start to look at them with any criticality, like the ape to man icon or Darwin's tree of life, they completely come apart at the seams. But I think back to this idea that Adam and Eve did not exist, that they are metaphorical. This is a horrible idea. Our Savior's words ought to cast a pall on everyone who denies a historical Adam and Eve. Because Jesus says at the beginning the Creator made them male and female. And you can't allegorize the words of the Lord, because Jesus further affirmed a historical Adam and Eve when he referred to the murder of their son Abel. And not only that, but Luke, writing to a primarily Gentile audience, extends his genealogy past Abraham to the first Adam. And therefore, he highlighted Christ, the second Adam, as the Savior of all humanity. And if that's insufficient, you can go to Chronicles and you see a historical record from Adam to the exile. And if you start at Genesis chapter 5, Moses gives the written account of Adam's line. So to take this, which is clearly historical, and make it a metaphor or an allegory is simply beyond the pale. So I don't think any thinking Christian should buy into this kind of rhetoric or false reading.
Okay, that's what I thought. But yeah, I just really wanted to hear how you felt about that. But it's a church that we've been in a very long time, and I've seen this change. And so I'm realizing over the past year, as I've started looking at this, I'm thinking I'm not crazy. I think this is not right. And so I think we need to maybe move on. So
yeah, maybe there's two words to keep in mind here, Ellie. One is science and the other is the Savior. The Savior, as I said, cast a pall on all Adam and Eve deniers by his own words. Secondly, we have to look at good science and this notion that is being communicated by the Biologos Foundation with respect to the first Adam and Eve not being a couple but thousands is simply now going against the scientific narrative as well, because the scientific narrative has been in flux for some time. So one, the Savior's words refute it, and two, science is refuting this idea as well.
Wow, thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let me take a Facebook question. Todd, he says, Hank, I believe the Bible to be the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. If God is not the author of confusion, and then the text that is given by Todd is 1 Corinthians 14, why do you think that there is so much confusion around hermeneutics? We love you and are praying for you and your ministry. Thank you for your prayers. The answer to the question is, I mean, we have so many different expressions within the Protestant tradition right now. I mean, I'm not suggesting that Catholicism or Orthodoxy are singularly monolithic, but if you look at the expressions within Protestantism today, you have some 30,000 or more. Anyone today seems to be able to hang up a shingle, whether they have any theological or hermeneutical acumen or not. And so you have people today who are popular on radio and television in the Christian world who are coming up with brand new ideas. And those ideas don't come out of a careful examination of Scripture, applying the art and science of biblical interpretation, but they rather come out of a predilection in a particular direction. So someone hangs up a shingle and says, now I got a brand new teaching, and this teaching is going to undo everything that you read in the Scripture, because you've been reading what you've been reading in the Scripture in the wrong way. And let's, by the way, get rid of all of church history. No longer am I a pygmy standing on the shoulder of giants. I'm a giant, and historical characters of the past are simply pygmies. And so this person now says, and this is just one example, you can never, ever, as a believer, ever, ever confess your sins. Because if you do, you are spitting in the face of God. This is one of the most pernicious, I'll even call it a heresy, that I've seen arise in the modern day church. And popular people are communicating this. So let's dispense with the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord's Prayer is an old covenant prayer. It really doesn't apply to us today. Had some value at the time it was given, but it really doesn't apply to us today. And by the way, we have to dispense with it for any reason or every reason, because if we don't, then our paradigm no longer will hold up under scrutiny. So we'll get rid of that. And we'll simply have this new paradigm. Well, this is what happens to people that are unstable and unlearned, and they're taking essentials of the Christian faith and playing fast and loose with them. And so I think that's at the bottom of the problem. There's so much confusion because hermeneutics is not playing a role. History is not playing a role. People are simply good with the gab, and if they're good with the gab, good enough, well, they can start a new expression, a new fissuring within Protestantism. And this can happen in many different constructs of Christianity, where you come up with a brand new idea. This happens within Catholicism, when the Pope speaks ex cathedra, goes against everything that the Catholic Church taught before, or what the Church historically has taught. So these are problems, I think, that elevate the person over proper perception of Scripture. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Maureen in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Maureen.
Hi there. I'm just calling in regards to the Landmark Forum, and I'm wondering if you're familiar with this organization and how it lines up with our belief in Christ.
Absolutely does not in any way whatsoever. These were known at one point as the Earhart Seminars. and sometimes referred to by the name of the seminar itself, the forum. And that's where you get this whole idea of the landmark forum from the seminars that are being taught themselves. But this is sort of a muddy mixture of Eastern worldviews. Sometimes we packaged it under the label the New Age movement, or sometimes we pointed out that this is New Thought metaphysics repackaged for Christian consumption. This has little or nothing whatsoever to do with a biblical worldview.
Okay, so you're just thinking stay away from it?
Yes, stay as far away as you possibly can, unless you fully understand it and you can be someone that is pointing out the errors of this particular theology to the people who are falling for it. Because this is really packaged nicely for Christian consumption, but it has nothing whatsoever to do with a biblical worldview. Coming up to the station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
Every CRI outreach, our broadcast, podcast, website, resources, the Christian Research Journal, and more is made possible only because of friends like you. Your partnership matters. What kind of impact has your partnership had? An impact for time and for eternity. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. New atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. www.hankhanegraaff.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our questions. Jeff, he's listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. First and foremost, I want to say I love you, brother, praying for you and your family for wisdom and understanding and that your faith will be increased.
Oh, thank you so much. Bless you.
Appreciate you.
Yes.
So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, towards the end, Paul is talking to the Corinthians regarding the Lord's Supper. And in that, he says not to take it in an unworthy manner. Now, Hank, I'm going to be honest. In the past, there's been times in my life where I did not participate in partaking of the Lord's Supper because I may have mistaken that as that I was not worthy to partake of it. And so I've missed out, I think, on some blessings. And but I want to just get your feel as far as what exactly is an unworthy manner, and is that referring to our condition, or is this about keeping our focus and our remembrance upon Him and His sacrifice, and how is it that, you know, we are to approach the Lord's Supper in a way that we're bringing honor and glory to Him? And I'm going to listen off the air, and again, love and appreciate you and any assistance you can give me with this. Okay, Hank?
You got it, Jeff. Thank you so much for the question. And yeah, I mean, to receive Christ's body and blood in an unworthy manner is tantamount to come to communion with hidden immorality. Now, why do I say that? Well, you can find this in Paul's letter. All you have to do is skip back a few chapters, and Paul talks about this. He also talks about disunity. He talks about doctrinal heresy. He talks about disorder. And all of this is a way by which Paul is communicating that we should never fail to see that the elements are the holy gifts of God as holy things for holy people, meaning people who have been set apart by God, no longer operating on the principles of the world, but rather operating on divine principles, as I like to put it, ordering their lives around the divine. And of course, in the New Testament, if you receive Christ's body and blood unworthily, then you bring condemnation upon yourself. And that's why we ought to examine ourselves carefully to see if we are indeed in the faith. And Paul is very strong about this. He says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many have fallen asleep. The real presence of Christ in the Eucharist is not, you know, a once-a-year reminder. This is something to be taken very, very seriously. Now, again, if you have a repentant heart and you prepare your heart for communion, then you're partaking in a worthy manner as opposed to a manner that is unworthy. Let's go back to a Facebook question. Joshua, do you think the pro-life movement should actively contend against the use of contraception? I think what's really important, Joshua, is that we recognize a biological reality. And that biological reality is that there's no question whatsoever that if you have a birth control method that is designed to prevent the implantation of a fertilized human egg, you ought to avoid that. Why? Because a fertilized human egg is a person created in the image and likeness of God. That person, not just physical, but also metaphysical as well, a body-soul unity. You never want to use a form of birth control designed to prevent implantation. I think you have to avoid that at all costs, again, because the biology of it and the scripture of it make the answer to this conundrum quite clear. Let's go back to another Facebook question. This is Baltazar. I love the name. Was Peter the leader of the first disciples? Well, I mean, if you look at the Jerusalem council, for example, in Acts chapter 15, you find Stephen being the leader of the Jerusalem council. And Peter, significant among the disciples, because he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In other words, the rock was his profession of Christ in terms of who Christ really is. And this is the mother of all questions. Who do you say that I am? So this is the rock, the church, the rock, Jesus Christ, the rock being the historic Christian faith. And I think in this regard, I think we have to have a significant admiration for Peter, but I don't think that we want to make Peter more than what Peter is in the realm of all of the disciples. I think the church has always been well served to recognize that you might have a first among equals, but they are, after all, equals. Another thing that occurs to me as I'm talking about this is that it would be good for people to remember the disciples. I have found that I can go out and talk to probably 99 out of 100 Christians and ask them to name the 12 disciples of Christ, and they simply can't do that. So maybe take some time, take this admonition to remedy that woeful condition and memorize the disciples. You have Peter, he's nicknamed the Rock. You have Andrew. Who was Andrew? Andrew was Peter's brother. Then you have James, son of Zebedee, who along with his brother John were known as the Sons of Thunder, not to be confused with the author of the book of James. Then you have John, the son of Zebedee, again, the brother of James. You have Philip. He was responsible, you probably remember this in the biblical text, for leading Nathanael to Christ. So you saw that he was already embracing the Great Commission. You have Matthew, well known as the tax collector, also known as Levi. You have Thomas, Bartholomew. You have Judas, James, son of Alphaeus. And then you have Thaddeus, also called Judas. And then you have Simon the Zealot. So it's important to get that kind of information in your head. I mean, there's nothing more foundational than the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ and their teachings. We'll take another Facebook question. Joe is asking, "Hank, I've grown disappointed with the worship part of our church service. It has become little more than entertainment. There's a very little to help us enter into the throne room of God and worship Him in truth. Do you think the church is being held back by not seeking a deeper relationship through worship?" I do think that that's correct. I mean, if you think of worship, there's nothing more significant than that. I love to quote Sky Gittoni. He's the author of The Divine Commodity, and there's so much commodification of Christianity. And he once told the story of finding himself in a state of wonderment as he was in the auditorium of a very, very large church pretending to watch the worship of God. And he said wherever he looked, there were flat panel displays and presenters flashing high-definition smiles. He pointed out that the stage was alive. It was like a mechanical beast. It was moving fluidly, it was breathing smoke, it was shooting lasers, and the band members were spread across the platform as jagged teeth in the beast's mouth, and the drummer was precariously suspended from the ceiling like a pagan offering. And the important thing is, he was exiting that expression of so-called worship and then began to wonder, is this really what Jesus envisioned? Is this really why Jesus came? Is this why Jesus suffered? Is this why Jesus died? Is this why he conquered death and evil so that we might congregate for multimedia worship extravaganzas in his name? And I think the answer to that is absolutely not. I mean, we are now confabulating worship with entertainment and a great feeling that we get when we hear good music. But worship ultimately is where we're not looking to get anything but give our all to God. I do think that there are many false expressions of worship in the church today, and I think that we ought to become conversant with what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth. A lot of that requires unpacking, but we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Lens Man broadcast. I do want to mention that I'm deeply grateful for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. If you can stand with me financially, it would be deeply appreciated. The Lord knows our needs, and He has His people out there that are willing and able to meet those needs. If you're one of them, remember you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, and when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Also remember, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Be back here, Lord willing, next week with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.